that since then, we continue worshiping and serving the Lord in our church community, the MFDC. As I look, the MCF, for your 30th anniversary, how the Lord is working in your midst. And we praise God for this. And thank you for being a part of this celebration, your 30th anniversary. So this afternoon, we will focus our study in our short meditation in the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 41. It's regarding the pattern or the church, the first church in Jerusalem. And we can find it in Acts chapter 2 verse 41. And our topic this afternoon is the Bible believing church. If you have your Bible with you, can you turn it in Acts chapter 2? How many of you, this is your first time to be here? First timer, all right. Praise the Lord. Welcome. Okay. You received the raffle ticket. You will receive, later there will be a raffle, I believe. It's a round trip ticket. All right. From Square One to Islington. And then also free dinner for two, including Mother Adele. Okay, so keep your ticket as well. So now this afternoon, in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, if you have your Bible with you, it says here, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about how many? 3,000 souls were added to them. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders of signs were done to the apostles. Now all who believed were together had all things in common. And verse 45, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. In verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple or in the church, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. In the last place he said, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What a great story. A pattern that we can look back. The church in Jerusalem, that we can pattern our churches in our generation. That's why we call it the Bible believing church. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, our God, we thank you and we praise you for this afternoon. Thank you for allowing us to be here to worship you and to celebrate with our brothers and sisters here in Milton for your faithfulness to this church for the last 3 years. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the leaders. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the members. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the ministry, for your kingdom in glory. So, Father God, this afternoon, we want to commit you, Lord, in this precious moment as we study your holy word. In the most precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. The church was born here in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Can you imagine 3,000 souls were added, and the Holy Spirit had helped the preacher preach. The gospel of Jesus Christ was proclaimed with power, and the Holy Spirit had helped the hearers to hear the gospel from day on until now. The result of working of the Holy Spirit was the birth of the church when 3,000 were saved. You know what? When the church was started here in Acts chapter 2, you will see here also in Matthew chapter 18. I believe it's here. No. Matthew chapter 16, I mean, in verse 13. Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Then Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In verse 17, he answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, Barjona, for flesh and blood has revealed this to you. But my Father who is in heaven, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall prevail against it. If you can see in this passage in Matthew chapter 16, it's like a future, it's like a prophecy that the church is not yet been established. He said, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. And then in Acts chapter 2, it was the fulfillment of the New Testament church until this generation, until our time. What happened? The Holy Spirit forms a family. That time, until now, the Holy Spirit forms a family. We are intentionally around here to use words that are reflective of what we believe and why we say the youth word MCF family, Milton Christian Fellowship. And that's why the MFBC called Mississauga Family Baptist Church is a family. It refers to who we are as a group of people. MCF is a group of people, a group of Christians. And the Bible is clearly reveals that those who are called out by the Holy Spirit from darkness to light, from sin to righteousness, from state of being lost to the state of being formed into the family or community. So when God called a person who do not know a Savior and Lord, and then when this person accepts Jesus Christ, he will add to the family or the community of believers. You will see it in our passage. And the Lord added 3,000 souls. When the apostles and the disciples preached the word of God, the Holy Spirit began to work the salvation and continues his work in us. And he formed us as a family or community. So the Spirit around immediately begin to see a genuine faith. And that's why it's called ecclesia or church. There are three things that we highlighted in our text today. Because church is not something you go to. It is a family you belong to. Amen?
Amen.
Can we read it aloud, please? Yes, it is a family you belong to. I will look back since 1993. I don't know how many years now. When we joined the MFBC, we belong to that family. So it means when God calls you to your home church, be faithful there. That's your family, spiritual home. Not only the Holy Spirit formed a family when God started the church in Jerusalem, but the Holy Spirit reigns. The Holy Spirit reigns. Because God is not calling us to go to church. He is calling us to be his church. We are his church, called Ecclesia. We are the one who called by God from darkness to lightness. That's why we call it church. Ecclesia, ek, means and call out. Tayo yung tinawag ng Panginoon. Palabas mula doon sa kadiliman. We are called by God. The Holy Spirit reigns. The Holy Spirit was reigning and ruled in vast responsibility descended upon the apostles. They were ruled the Spirit to some practice that brought to all them the apostles. And three things happened in the church where the Holy Spirit reigned. They were then and still remain keys of spiritual growth and maturity. Because we aren't called to be like other Christians, but we are called to be like Christ. Yes, we can look after other Christians, but God called us to follow his footsteps, to be like Christ. In every church of God, we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called by God. What we can see in the church in Jerusalem, the Bible-believing church, we can see them, they were instructed by the word. There's an instruction. You will see in verse 42. They instructed by the word. In verse 42, it says here, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's very important for us to grow in the word of God. The Holy Spirit created a desire in the heart of this brand new Christian for the apostles' teaching. You know what, the American senator before, like Daniel Webster, he said, education is useless without the Bible. Christian must be instructed by the word of God. That would be considered the apostles' teaching. When reading this word, we can consider them to be little bad, babe, and not to give them so much doing for to understand what being said to us. And the apostles' teaching would have been the teaching probably in the Old Testament to the New Testament. They are teaching the Jesus life and ministry. They are teaching the miracles, the teaching and death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were instructed. So instruction in the local church is so much important. Because when there is no word of God, it will become like just like a social club. And thank God for this church. Every time I will see your posting in the Facebook, wherein every Wednesday is your Bible study group. And then your prayer meeting is on Saturdays. And other group meets to study the word of God. It's so important, beloved in the Lord, to see what God is doing in our midst. They were instructed by the word of God. And what you will see here also in the church of Jerusalem, they have hunger for the word of God. They were hungry. The Holy Spirit produced in this young Christian a hunger which was necessary for them to grow in their newfound relationship in Christ. They crave to consume what would feed their very souls. What we find here in passage is that those who have experienced the grace of Jesus Christ in salvation will develop a continual desire for His word. So the moment we accept Jesus Christ, probably a lot of us, we can testify that day when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the desire to read the scripture. We have the desire to feed our own soul through His word. I remember when I became a Christian in 1980, though I grew up in the Sunday school, but the moment I come to know the Lord, I have a hunger to read the word of God. For the first 5 years of being a genuine Christian, loving in the Lord, I read the scripture twice from cover to cover. Because I have a hunger for the word of God. Because the backbone of a healthy Christian life is teaching. Yes, music is good. Music is good, like in our worship. Fellowship, of course, food is also part of our fellowship. But the most important thing is the teaching of the Word of God. Like it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like a newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Or you may grow up in our faith. Loving in the Lord, it's so much important for us to grow in the Word of God. Teaching was the milk of the early church under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Young believers must make sure they are feeding on the teaching of God's Word. From the very beginning, when I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ in the ministry, my passion and even my desire is always to help those people who come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to help them to grow in their walk with God. And that's what God given in my heart. And I thank God for my wife as well. We have in the same journey, we have in the same passion. In other words, when you are a believer, when you're a Christian in MFDC, we are trying our best to give our children, to help them to grow in their spiritual walk with them. Teaching. There is much confusion today about the essential matter of our faith. Even non-reading experience-oriented culture, solid Bible teaching is sometimes hard to find. Because believers should be aware of churches of Christian fellowship where the Bible do not carry, they don't carry the Bible anymore. Read your Bible and mark it, beloved in the Lord. Bring your Bible when you have your Bible study, your fellowship when you come to church. I shared this last night in our cell group. I said, like a tablet or iPad or a cell phone or all our gadget, we have all our Bible here in our scripture. We can read it in different translation. And everyone bring this gadget. But I still encouraging all the Christians when we go to our Bible study, when we go to our fellowship, always bring our Bible. Because not everyone bring their Bible. And that's how we can identify ourselves as Christians, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we will be dependent in all of this gadget, what will happen when the Antichrist, when the World Wide Web was totally be shut down? If we are dependent on Him and we are doing it to our scripture, our Bible. You know what? Many books can inform you. Only the Bible can transform you. It is only the Bible. It's very important, beloved in the Lord, to always carry and bring our Bible with us. When there's like a fellowship. I mean, some of you may not agree with me, but this is what is in my heart. I have my Facebook, I have my Instagram, I have my myself using everything, but still the Bible is number one that I can use when I study the scripture. Not only they have a hunger for the Word of God in the Church of Jerusalem, also they grow in the Word of God, they grow. More than study is needed. When the Spirit reigns in the heart of those who have been saved, a hunger for His Word will naturally arise with them. Because God's people continually devote themselves to the study of His Word. That is the first characteristic, but more than study is needed. I can describe this church as a Bible-believing church. Amen? Amen? The question that remains then is true that, are you really a Bible-living church? When we study the Bible, are we living the Word of God? Ipinamumuhay ba natin ang salita ng Diyos? They grow in the Word. That's the first point that I want to share this morning or this afternoon. They were instructed by the Word, a hunger for the Word of God, and they grow in the Word of God in the New Testament church or in the church in Jerusalem. Not only they were instructed, we can see them, they were being inspired to fellowship. They were inspired. Did you see people who are inspired to fall in love? Just look at Brother Len. Not Brother Len, that's Brother Len. Alright. Or you can look at Sister John. Sorry. Secret. Yes, they were inspired for fellowship. What we can see here, said they devoted themselves to the what? Fellowship. This kind of fellowship did not exist before the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The Greek word used here, the real word is the word koinonia, Christian fellowship or body of believers. It is not even found in the gospel, but root idea of koinonia or Christian fellowship, the root idea is commonness or commonality. You have commonness, that's why you were together. You have one heart, you have one spirit. And this is the word where the communism, I use that word, commonness, commonality. And the New Testament Greek word here is koine, means because they were common. It's a strange language of the people. So every time this word is used in the New Testament, it denotes some kind of sharing. So when we fellowship, we are there sharing, either sharing something with someone, whether it's an offering of collection or contribution, sharing sharing to someone in their experiences. Here in Acts, the emphasis of the word on contributing or giving is the foundation of the early Christian fellowship. Giving in the fellowship, the foundation of the early Christian. They gave everything for the Lord. If you will see in 44 verse 45, you will see in this verse, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. What says in verse 45? Sold their possessions, goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. What is the three important things here? Three important here. When they're inspired to fellowship, they are sharing to meet physical needs. They are sharing with another burdens. They're also sharing in ministry. What is sharing to physical needs? What does this mean? The early Christians were marked by a continued devotion to sharing with one another. Like in a local church, in a community, it is always our desire when someone is in need, physically or materially, the church response or the group of people in the church is to help and to share. To share. And sharing one another's burdens, there are many other ways in which the New Testament reveals the Holy Spirit produces fellowship. Sharing another burdens. Because there is no lone ranger Christian. The Holy Spirit does not have us to be a lone ranger Christian, where we simply to keep ourselves and about ourselves. We are saved from death to life, and that life is life with the Lord and His people. We are sent into a community, family of faith, and a family share to meet another's need. And we share one another's burden in the fellowship. You cannot find there outside in the secular world. We can find it in the Church of Jerusalem, and we can find it in every local church of God, like sharing our burden. I remember one time, when we were still at Fairwind, just one Sunday, a regular Sunday, just shaking hands, and then I shake my hands to a lady. And right after I shake my hands, there was tears falling in her eyes. I said to her, okay, because we don't have any office, okay, no room. I asked her and asked another elder. We go to one of the exit doors on the other side. I said, can we pray for you? Can you imagine? If you didn't attend the fellowship, how she can unload her problem in her, what is in her heart? So sharing was another burden is important, but we can see in our church fellowship. And also sharing in ministry, it means serving. We are called to share the responsibility of ministry. We are told that the Holy Spirit has given each and every one of us a skills, talents, and gifts for the purpose of serving the community of faith. God given us a special talent or gift, not for you, but for the edification of the church. Not competing one another, but we are complementing one another in the ministry. This reveals the Holy Spirit reigns in the church, where those who have been saved and been indwelt by the Spirit share work of ministry. Because many Christians who love the Lord and His people are on the brink of burning out of their serving, because we have the way of many Christians who are sitting around and rusting and do nothing for the Lord. Thank God for the leadership of this church and advisors and ministry leaders. Thank you for being part of this church, sharing your ministry to one another. We need to help one another in the ministry. So when the Holy Spirit is ruling and reigning in the heart of those who have been saved, we find a natural hunger for the word of God within the sense of rather than having giving one another birthday. We can see here the most important thing also in this church in Jerusalem is not only they were being instructed by the word, they are not only inspired by to fellowship, but they are also involved in worship. They were involved in worship. Look at in verse 46 and 47. 46 and 47. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from the house to house, they ate their food with gladness in simplicity of heart. In simplicity of heart. Remember, we don't worship the Lord on Sunday only. Look at this, little boy. Say it with us. In unison, ready? Read! Loving in the Lord, yes. Your worship is in the afternoon. Probably some of you attended the worship in the morning. You have a double blessing today. You got two communions this morning. Sometimes I have three communions in one Sunday. But praise God, it's not about to make you holy. It is your relationship to the Word. And also we worship Him every day. In our solitude with God. In our personal devotion with the Lord. In our prayers. Because the church doesn't exist to entertain the same. It exists to train disciples to glorify God and reach the lost. And that's why that's involved in our worship. So the Holy Spirit had created in these new believers is a continued commitment and devotion to worship. The worship is the early was marked by the breaking of bread and prayer. You will see there in their fellowship, and when they worship, the breaking of bread. In the day of Pentecost, in the Jerusalem, they're breaking of bread daily, every day. They see each other with singleness in heart and breaking of bread in the temple. Of course, it depends on the church. There are some churches, they have their communion every Sunday. That's their church practice. And there are some churches, their practice and their communion is once a year. So it means when you miss it, your next communion will be the following year. And our practice is every first Sunday of the month. It's not about how many times you participate in the breaking of bread. The most important is how's your heart condition before the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's the most important thing. So the breaking of bread, the phrase used in the New Testament, refers the Lord's Supper or the communion. It strikes us immediately the importance of what is being said. Is that must the focus is the ordinance per se, but the orders required from those who observe it. So when the early church committed themselves, when the early church committed themselves in the breaking of bread, they were doing so because their desire is to keep Jesus on the forefront of who they were in a new community of faith. Because the Lord's Supper observed is done in remembrance of Jesus Christ. We remember Him. And we observe the Lord's Supper. Your heart and mind is not grown of years as one. But we focus our mind and heart to God. Also in prayers. They committed when they worship the breaking of bread, but also in prayer. In the early church, we find that many still observe to set time of prayer at established under the old religious system. And thank God for many years. I should say, Sister Ugat or Ruth, She's one of the coordinators of the prayer warriors in the church. Until now, we are still practicing record prayer warriors. Every time, I know that Abby Norma, she was called also to be a prayer warrior, coordinating with other preachers. There are some people who are being called to be a prayer warrior. You know what, in MFBC, every Sunday when we have our worship service, there were always three people in a small room praying for the church, praying for the preachers, praying for the visitors, praying for the whole service of the Lord will continue to bless and challenge and break the heart of people and to be humble enough before the Lord. Praying in the early church, we can find it observed. And we must follow and continue. Because in Acts chapter 3, we find that Peter and John are going up and to the temple, a time for prayer. The lame man healed. And even they entered in the Solomon's portico. It means portico is a large covered area. The entrance of the building with pillars are supporting them in the entrance of the temple. Because prayer is worshipful in the sense that giving prayer answers us into the presence of God, whereby we adore Him, thank Him, confess to Him, repent before Him, ask Him. Prayer in the simplest form is an act of worship. Because in praying, we are admitting God's righteous place as the greater, and we are the lesser. We are the lesser. My beloved in the Lord, prayer in the New Testament church, and now even in our generation, must continue this prayer ministry called prayer warriors. That's two important things that we can see in the local church. In the New Testament church, the breaking of bread and also prayers. So when the Holy Spirit reigns in the church, one verse has provided us three devotion commitment. We can see here the Holy Spirit grant those who under the rule of His reign are committed and devoted to the Word of God. We can see in fellowship of the saints and worship, we can see it here as the word went out, said, "Awe." Everyone was filled with awe. They were amazed when they worship the Lord. You know, Sunday after Sunday, when you come to fellowship and to worship God, you are preparing yourself not only when you sit down, when the worship leader started to read the scripture, the call to worship. We will prepare ourselves even Saturday evening, when you can prepare yourself to worship God. You know, we were trained. Back in the Philippines, that when we prepare our heart to worship the Lord, we also prepare our heart physically. We no longer like ironing our barong or our pants. We are doing on Saturday evening. So Sunday morning, you are ready to worship God, worship the Lord. What happened? Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, but because everything worked together for being profound sense of God. This awe and sorrow fear was not terror, but something like Isaiah experienced when he saw the holiness of God and he cried, he said in Isaiah 6:5, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips." Such a response in a deep reaction of a frail, fallen being standing before the true God of love and righteousness. When we worship the Lord, we will amaze and humble ourselves to God. How we need this today is nothing to promote revival more than a sense of awe before our holy God, coupled with a sense of our own unworthiness. That we can say, "Lord, I am unworthy. But I was so amazed of what you are doing in my life." You must feel with awe when you worship God. What happened also in here? What will happen when they were involved in their worship? They have also gladness and generous heart. Some people think that tithing and generosity is something for all their people are in faith. They have glad and generous heart for the Lord. They think that tithing is also and generosity only for the old Christian, for the Christian maturity. But you know what? In the early church, in this pattern, as we pattern our lives, where the Holy Spirit was present and reigning, there was a great generosity and gladness in being generous, being present. How is that? When the Holy Spirit captures the heart of us, sinful and wicked people, He released the grief we have on our idols and material things. And the greatest idols we hear today are material things. They were not just generous. They were glad and generous in their giving. That's how they see it. Even they sold their possessions. No one forced them. It is the Holy Spirit that works in their life when they worship the Lord. They involved in worship, in awe, in gladness in heart. And lastly, even they were involved in evangelism. In evangelism. You will see in the first church, in the midst of the teaching, fellowship and worship, we find something beautiful taking place. The Bible says that their numbers increased what? Day by day. Because people were being saved. That is a genuine, a truly biblical church. When soul being saved in the ministry. Like transferring members or people coming from other churches will transfer to our church. Is that our priority? That is only a bonus. Because our mission is the conversion of those people who are lost. There was something about the powerful teaching and the desire of it that convinced the heart of the unbeliever in this city, in our community, so that surrounds us. There was something about the genuineness of community about them. So when the church was just being the church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, the lost, God saved. It was the first ministry in your church, in our church, is to win souls and make disciples. That's the first ministry of every individual Christian, is to win souls and make disciples. So once a person accepted Jesus Christ, a new believer must be a disciple. Are you called to be a soul winner? And other Christians called to be a disciple. A disciple. And you can disciple and have people to grow in their walking time. Love it in the Lord. Your fellow Christians. MCF family, the Bible Believing Church. This is a reminder for us today, this afternoon. Instruction from the Word of God is so important. And every time you fellowship, you must be inspired to fellowship. But no one is forcing you. You have the desire truly to worship and to fellowship and sharing to meet the physical need and sharing to one another's burden and sharing in ministry. You must volunteer. You must be voluntold. Some people need to be voluntold. But we need to volunteer ourselves in the ministry. And let us also be involved in worship. The breaking of bread and even in prayer. So this morning, the final challenge is afternoon. The final challenge in here. Beloved in the Lord is here. I ask everyone to please stand up. And a challenge for us today. Where the Spirit reigns in the church. Let us read this in unison. Let us read this prayerfully in our hearts. Ready, please. Where the Spirit reigns in the church. Believers relate to the word means teaching. Where the Spirit reigns in the church, believers relate to each other means koinonia or community. Where the Spirit reigns in the church, believers relate to God, worship. Where the Spirit reigns in the church, believers relate to the world, evangelism. And let us pray. O Lord, thank you for this message. Thank you for reminding us, O Lord, the church in Jerusalem. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that indeed your word is true. And we can pattern our lives, the church that you have been established in the day of Pentecost. So Lord, I pray that you will bless this ministry. Continue to bless this church that is a reminder for us. Oh Lord, every time to come together to worship you, always remind us, oh Lord, that our focus is you alone. And Heavenly Father, I pray that all of us, the members of this local church, and even to all our visitors, that we continue to grow in your word and to be inspired to fellowship. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And even right now, we are a new Christian. You need to grow, and you want to grow, and your desire is to grow in the Lord. If that is your prayer, you can ask probably someone to disciple you. Or probably you are the one, you are here this afternoon. You are very far away from the fellowship. And you want to commit your life again to the Lord, and you want to fellowship with your fellow Christians. Your fellow Christians, and you want to dedicate your life to Him. Yes, you have been Christian for many years, but you become very far away from the fellowship of the believers. And you want to come back to God and ask God to break your heart and humble before Him. Today, before we end this service, may I ask if there's anyone today, you need a space of prayer. Probably you say, Pastor Lino, I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to continue to grow in my faith. I want to commit my life and study the Word of God continually and fervently and seriously. And that is your desire to the universe, my advice for saying. Your desire is to grow in your walk with God. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Your desire is to grow. God will be the desires of your heart. And God wants us to grow His relationship with Him and also to the church. And also today, the last invitation. Is there anyone here? The Lord spoke to your heart. You are not sure about your spiritual condition. You see 3,000 of God's saved. Probably for many times you have been attending the Bible study. Or you come to this church on a regular basis or from time to time. But deep inside your heart there is emptiness. There is something that you need Jesus Christ in your heart. You haven't been decided that you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. And today, probably the day of salvation, the Word of God has been planted into your heart. Probably years back. Or even last week or last month or last year. But today is the harvest time that the Lord is calling to you or speaking to you. And you want to give your heart to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I pray for you. Be humble before the Lord. You may raise hands if you want to accept Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. You want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Is there anyone? You want to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. For our guests this afternoon. Or you can follow me with this prayer. If you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, follow me with this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who died for me, who paid for my sin. I want to humble myself to you, O God. I want to confess all my sin. I invite you to come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Make me a new person. May the Lord Jesus Christ come into my heart and the Holy Spirit will work in me. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for my brothers and sisters who raised their hands. So, Father God, bless them. Bless each one of us, O Lord, that we will continue, O Lord, to have the desire of our heart to grow in our faith and even our worship, O God, and as we fellowship one another. So, Father God, bless your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You will be seated. May God bless you. Look at this here. When God wants to make a mushroom, he does it overnight. But when he wants to make a giant oak, he takes 100 years. Great stones are grown, through struggles and storms, and seasons of suffering. Be patient with the process. MCR family, you are in the process of your spiritual growth. Probably takes 100 years. But God wants you to be strong and struggle, and strong comes into you. Be patient with the process. God will continue to bless this ministry. Amen. Thank you.